This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome back to Equal Agenda. We're your hosts, Roman and
Emmy.
And today we'll be talking about incel culture and the manosphere. I guess the sort of the recent, quite modern phenomenon, you could say, the dangers it poses, and maybe if this is even that modern at all.
Like, yeah.
This is like a thing that I've been thinking about is you see a lot of these attitudes, you know, from these incel types online and these manosphere influences, and it really doesn't seem all that different to the kind of discourses you'd have heard, say, a century ago even. Like, it's just sort of trying to bring back already harmful norms that were in place, that were used to oppress women, not only socially, because we still see a bit of that today, but definitely legally as well. I've seen, you know, these types call out for repealing the right to vote for women, saying, you know, things like, oh, they're too hysterical, they can't meaningfully contribute to society, which is crazy. That's a crazy thing to think about other human beings.
Yeah. Incel culture as a whole is just a huge step back for the whole, like, feminism movement, or just for women in general. Like, it's just a huge step back. And I think a step back for men as well, mm-hmm. not just for women. Like, it is not only, like, incel culture and the rise of it, it's not just a negative thing for women. It's a negative thing for men and for everyone. And I think that that's what people need to understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's an inherently reactionary ideology. You have these people who are saying, well, we need to go back to how things were. And you'll see they have a lot of similar views on things like LGBTQ rights, the rights of racial and ethnic minorities. A lot of these people are pretty virulent racists. A lot of these people are often, like, hardline nationalists, so very right-wing. Often these people are very bad people most of the time, and they sort of, what they believe about women goes hand in hand with what they believe about pretty much the rest of society, which is mostly this backwards reactionary sort of mindset.
Yes, but it is not all bad. There are some people out there fighting against it. There are many figures throughout history, and one we're going to look at, it might not be, like, an example from currently, like, society right now, but I think a cool historic figure for this week is Gloria Steinem, who is a feminist writer and an all-round firecracker, whose career in the started in the 60s when she went undercover at a Playboy club, which to me just kind of screams incel culture a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, it goes with that objectification of women, the sort of wanting to control them, making them sexual objects. I've always found it really weird, the whole Playboy culture thing. It's just...
But yeah, she went undercover and kind of exposed some of the terrible things that were going on there, mostly misogynistic things. But yeah, she just seems to be an all-rounder, and she has done a lot for the feminist movement, writing a book called Revolution from Within, a book of self-esteem. She famously quoted saying, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, which personally I just think is perfect to talk about incel culture.
It's a really beautiful quote, especially in the context of incel culture, where a lot of these people sort of believe in the idea that, well, they just deserve women in the sense that they think they're promised, like, a wife to do everything for them.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, the big thing with these incel types.
Yep.
It's a portmanteau of involuntary celibate.
Yeah.
Right? So these people are people who cannot get into a relationship with a woman. And because they have that sense of entitlement, it really angers them. And they direct that anger towards the woman that essentially they can't develop relationships with. And I think a really scary thing about that is that anger can often boil over. And there are cases where it has. There are terror attacks, mostly like lone wolf attacks from incels, who essentially they grow to resent women so much that they turn to violence. They turn to actual targeted violence against women. And on that, it's actually sort of baffling to me that a lot of countries don't have protections for specific gender-based violence targeting women.
Yeah.
Like the idea of femicide.
Especially online as well. There's like not many restrictions at all in this digital age, kind of helping people with the kind of violence and hate that comes from online. And just to name drop a little bit here, but one big example that I would think of is like Andrew Tate, and even necessarily these people that get idolized in the kind of incel world, they might have a girlfriend or a wife or a partner, but they promote this idea and this perception that if you can't find a girlfriend or you can't find a wife, it's because you're not looking for the right girls. You're looking for people who are promiscuous, they're sluts, you can't. Can I say that? Can I say
we'll
that?
I don't know. But that is the language that they use.
Yeah,
it's pretty horrible.
It's horrific. And the fact that these young boys, young men are growing up thinking, oh, if someone doesn't like me, it's just because they're a whore. Like,
yeah,
they're seeing too many other guys. Not because the woman has a mind of her own and can actually decide, oh, like, we're not fit, we're not suited. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it a lot of these mindsets sort of dehumanize the people that they target, right? Like racism, it routinely dehumanizes the people that you're racist towards, right? Like the idea that, oh, people who aren't the same race as me, they're animals, you know? They're less intelligent on average. They're, you know, not as important morally. All of these attitudes just serve as a way to like legitimize your just hate towards them, really, or at least the idea that you're better than them and that you deserve more than them. And this attitude you see a lot with women and incels. Andrew Tate, like he said, with all of this pretty horrible language targeted towards women, himself has been accused of sex trafficking in multiple countries.
Yes, it's literally this whole idea of like you can't date a girl with a body count, or you can't date someone who's like seen by society as like promiscuous, whereas if it was opposite genders it would be fine. But they talk a big game about, oh, a woman's value decreases the more men that she sees, the more men that she dates. But then they profit off women's bodies. A lot of these men that have incel channels, they're not called incel channels, but like, what do they even like call themselves? Like alphas. Alpha males, I'm using air quotes, you can't see, but these alpha males, they profit off women's bodies and using them in ways that make a woman of less value, but yet they're fine. They find it fine to use when they can make money off it. And I think that that's so hypocritical.
Definitely. And I think beyond even just the selling women's bodies to make money, which is, again, I don't know if this is a thing that you can overstate, is horrific, just absolutely horrible. There's also the selling of ideas. So a lot of these influencers, that's what they are, is they influence people into thinking a certain way.
They have these like courses or like, come with me and join my
Sigma Male Academy.
Yeah, like it's like a whole school on how to be a man. But in case you don't know like what we're talking about in terms of like profiting off women's bodies, a lot of the time it is like running a OnlyFans channel. They get commission off like women's OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. They make money off women that they simultaneously denigrate as like low value. And that's another thing that's really weird is the idea that, well, I guess for these guys, value is something that's correlated with essentially your usefulness or your sex appeal, essentially, right? Like a woman who's had a bunch of partners is for some reason lower value than a woman who hasn't. A woman that's more inclined to engaging in what's called traditional gender roles is described as higher value than a woman who isn't. The idea of tacking on the word value to a human being is such a strange thing. You're comparing these people, human beings with their own agency, and it seems like the more agency that a person has, the more freedom they have in their life, the less valuable they are to you, which, to be fair, I don't care about value. I think a lot of people really don't care if, you know, some incel online is saying that they have low value.
Yeah, and I think that they use the buzzword a lot of this is a high-value male or a high-value female. I know that the documentary that came out on Netflix, Inside the Manosphere by Louis Theroux.
I don't think I've not seen it. I don't know if you have.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but there's a lot of good examples on there of this kind of alpha males that are talking to people within the incel community, and they're kind of describing what a high value woman is, and it would be seen as someone who, yeah, is only been with them as that man and allows them to have other partners, and also, you know, does traditional gendered role things like cooks for them, cleans for them, but not because that's their choice to do that, but that's because the man is commanding them to do that. They view a woman as high value if she can follow instructions from the man.
Yeah, like the more you can be objectify and objectify yourself, the higher value you are to these freaks. It's just, it really, like, it makes me uneasy to think about.
Yeah, and it just absolutely, again, I don't mean to keep waffling on about this, but it brings me back to the point of then, because they view that as a high value woman, then a low value woman is seen as a woman who doesn't need a man's income to survive and can, like, provide for themselves and make choices for themselves. And maybe that they view people who do stuff like OnlyFans as low value women, but they're using these low value women to make money off. Like, I just don't understand. It's like you talk a big game to the people watching your podcast, like, don't engage with these women. These are why you can't get a girlfriend, because they're not real women and you don't want them anyways. It's a whole idea of, like, a big idea in incel culture is, like, you ask a girl out, like, hey, I think you're really cute, you're beautiful, can I get your number? Like, this is what they literally go around filming themselves asking people out. This is how to flirt. Those are crazy with the Meta glasses. Anyway, sorry, tangent, but they do that, and then as soon as a girl, like, it's like, no, sorry, or like, I'm not interested, oh, I didn't want to date you anyway, you're ugly anyways. It's like they can't accept, like, a simple no. It's crazy. It's so scary. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess what you said earlier about, yeah, women having independence, especially economic independence, going to get a bit into Marxism a little bit here. But there is the concept of what was called the bourgeois family unit. And essentially, it's the idea that you have the man at the top is the breadwinner, and women and children in the family are economically dependent on the man. That's the power structure there. And you would see this mostly, what's called the bourgeois family, mostly in bourgeois families, but it's been sort of exported beyond that, exported to lower and middle classes, where people think it's, I don't want to say people, but especially incels, I think, especially these manosphere guys, essentially say, like, this is how it has to be, that, yeah, the woman can't have economic independence, that she can't, you know, be going around living her life. And that's essentially saying the quiet part out loud of a lot of, like, capitalist, really patriarchal structures, because they rely on these things. They rely on a family unit where women and children are subjugated economically.
Yeah. I think another big element that I just find weird is, like, no tea, no shade, like, no hate, but actually a little bit of hate, but in incel culture, a big part is, like, I think that they are attracted to women who do very, like, maternal kind of, is that the right word? Like,
no, I get what you mean. Like, it's
almost giving, I don't want to say it, but it's almost giving, like, Sigmund Freud. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty Freudian. Well, these guys, because these are, is like, a, you know, the stereotype is these guys live in their mum's basement. You know, they have virtually no life. A lot of these people really just want a version of their mum that takes care of everything for them, because they never learn how to do it for themselves, except, you know, they can also objectify this person as a sex object, which is also, if you think about it, really, really gross.
Yeah, it's weird. And, like, it is giving a little bit Sigmund Freud, dare I say. But I think the scariest thing for me is not themselves. It's, like, the younger generation of men that listen to that and they think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And, oh, you have so many followers. You have so many brand deals. You have so much support, and you look like you have this big, cool life where you have got women who love you and stuff. But in reality, it's that's what they are. They are an influencer. They're there to influence you into thinking that these things are right. But digitally online, there's not a lot of safety to protect people from realizing this is fake. This is presented to you in a way to make you believe it. And for young boys that are growing up and maybe haven't had necessarily the best role models that can help support them in this is actually not the way to treat women. This is actually quite misogynistic and it's a big step back. I don't want to say I feel bad. I do feel a little bit bad, but I also think that there's a responsibility of the men and the paternal figures in these kids' lives to like protect them from these kind of digital incel culture influences. I think there needs to be a lot more regulation online because, yeah, like you were saying before, all we're talking right now is just they're talking about it and it's scary, but they're it does get to a point where it can actually be dangerous. And it makes me think of the show Adolescence, taking it to that next step. I don't know if you've seen that show, but it's about a boy who kind of, yeah, like listens to stuff online, kind of like Andrew Tate and stuff, to the point where he actually kills one of his classmates. He is I don't know, I can't remember how old, sorry to spoil it, guys, but if you know what I'm talking about, then you'll understand. But it's like this young boy who I want to say he's around like 10 or 11 and he's literally been exposed to this stuff online. He gets rejected by one of his classmates that he asks out and he like calls her promiscuous, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm pretty sure, yeah, stabs her to death or something.
Honestly, like very similar things have probably happened. I wouldn't be surprised if that was based on a real thing.
Yeah, like a 13-year-old boy literally murdering one of his female classmates because he thinks he deserves her, how would you even say that, her relationship? Like, just her. Like, he deserves her. Like, he has a right to her body. And it's really scary because in this show, I think it's a really good example. You guys, you should watch it if you haven't. But the dad has no idea that this is going on. The mum had no idea that this, like, he was watching and consuming this type of media. They could not comprehend that their son had done this. But it's such an echo chamber online.
Yes, definitely. I think all media presents things a certain way. But I think online, social media, just the internet in general, presents things in such a concentrated sort of, not quite fake, but this is a term that the French sociologist Jean Baudrillard used, but it's a hyper-reality, essentially. So where you're constantly presented these themes of, say, masculinity and sort of the implicit workings of patriarchy, essentially, but it becomes so concentrated online and you keep seeing these representations that feed into each other, you get presented this hyper-reality of what masculinity is. And so that includes things like the incel and the manosphere stuff. It's just really a really concentrated version of essentially what we already have with forms of like toxic masculinity and hegemonic masculinity that sort of imposes certain behaviors, certain expectations on men. And you see that in the way that especially these manosphere guys, these incels as well, view like LGBTQIA plus people, notably gay men, they're essentially, it's homophobia. They're treated like trash.
Yeah, and I think that's a big point to bring up is that it's not just dangerous to women, but it's dangerous to anyone who doesn't follow hegemonic masculinity because these quote-unquote alpha dogs view anyone who isn't on the same level as them as less than, and often that does fall to people in the queer community because they just respect like other people.
So they're normal people, essentially.
And I think that a lot of incel culture views like feminism as like this their enemy, and also like misandry, which in case you guys don't know, we do use a lot of terminology, but it's basically misandry is just, how would you describe it?
It's okay. So this is a thing that I think I could get quite passionate about. It's essentially the opposite of misogyny. Yeah. And a lot of these incel types, a lot of these manosphere influencers will throw the term around. They will say, well, yeah, maybe there is misogyny, but what about misandry? What about, you know, women who treat men like trash? And when they talk about this, again, they're usually talking about women that just reject them, women that don't want to be theirs. And the thing is, the thing that I really can't grasp why people believe that misandry is a thing is that if you think about, say, just for anyone that's sensitive to sexual violence, might want to tune out for a bit, but things like rape in society is still quite prevalent, and it's the majority of it, like 90% of it, is targeted towards women. Mm. A lot of violence is targeted towards women. Women are still discriminated against in employment, all right? They don't get paid as much still. Women in a lot of countries have virtually no legal rights. I think globally, women have 67% the legal rights of men, right? Like half the countries in the world have some sort of legal discrimination that bars women from things like employment.
Yeah.
So the fact that misandry could ever be a problem, I think, is just so far from any kind of truth that, like, even if it, I don't know, even if a woman is mean to you, right? Like, that's not misandry.
Yeah.
That's just someone being mean to you, probably because you were a bit annoying. Like, a lot of these incel types will just go up to a woman in the street, record them, and be like, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm gonna make fun of you for that. I'm sorry.
And I think that it's kind of the idea of, like, there's so much stuff that women have to go through, and then them simply, like, maybe calling it out or, like, asking for better, because for so long they maybe haven't, and, like, they haven't gotten the support that they deserve or need, then these people are like, oh, my God, they're wanting so much change. This is misandry. Like, they're just hating men. And it's like, no, it's not about hating men or anything to do with that. It's about just recognizing and maybe providing the support that women actually need for all of this stuff that, yeah, you're saying that they go through. Like, it's crazy that they think that the issue is women hating men, when that's not even the point.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, it might seem like a bit of an extreme example to draw up, but you think of, I don't know, Nazi Germany, you have a bunch of Nazis who are persecuting Jewish people, and maybe these people fight back, you know, maybe these people respond to the violence and repression that they're being faced with violence in return, right? That's not like, I don't know, it's not like, oh, they hate German people and they want to, you know, they want to replace all German people. No, that's because you're trying to kill all of them.
Yeah, it's like, right? You're hating the injustices that are happening to you. You're not hating everyone a part of, I don't know. Often when, like, I hear my friends or, like, women throw around the term of, like, oh, I'm sick of all men or I hate all men. In reality, they're not talking about all men. And most of the time, they're not talking about, if you think it's you, like, they're probably not talking about you. Most of the time, they're talking about these men, these incels that are, like, creating issues for women that are so unnecessary that don't need to be there in the first place.
If anything, it's just, you're hating that hegemonic masculinity.
Exactly.
It's just because it grips most men, like, just ideologically, socially, it's a hard thing to escape from, and so a lot of men are sort of bound by it. But you're not saying, oh, I hate all men because they're men.
And I would challenge you almost to, if you hear women saying these things, like, I hate all men, or, like, I'm so sick of men, don't automatically, if you're a man or you identify as male, like, I would say, don't automatically diminish what they're saying. Don't say, hey, what the heck, like, and get defensive. Question them, why do you think like this? Like, what has happened that has caused you to think like this? Because most of the time, they will have a reason for it.
Yeah, I think it's especially important to confront it where you see it, where you see maybe, you know, someone who might hold these assumptions. Maybe they don't know why particularly, you know, they have expectations around the behavior of women, especially towards them. But I would say, I definitely think what we've been talking about, I'd like to see it encourage some discussion, whether it's among family, among friends, because it is a thing that a lot of people, you know, you might not see it externally with these people, but a lot of people will watch this and they will internalize these things. And sooner or later, maybe they'll come out and they'll have been radicalized by these ideologies. I think it's important to essentially just confront these assumptions.
Yeah, that's such a good point. The best way to fight misogyny, fight this whole incel epidemic, is call it out. Call it out on the spot. If you hear one of your friends being misogynistic or cutting women or minorities down, call them out for it. Like, that is the best way to do it, because for so long they can just get away with what they say and they haven't been called out for it, and they don't actually recognize why what they're saying is wrong. It's the same when, like, people use slurs or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always one to call it out, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely, especially with that, because for a lot of people, there are slurs that are just entirely commonplace for them. Like, it doesn't even cross their mind that it's something that's actually harmful to say. But it's the same thing, yeah, with people talking about things like, you know, women's rights, gender equality, stuff like that. When you sort of see, like, incel influences creeping into the way that they discuss these things, I think it's important to call that. Even if it's, like, implicit, even if it's barely noticeable, that's how these things work their way into people's minds. Yeah. Like, yeah, we know how prevalent it is, especially online, and that, you know, that influences people.
Yeah, it's like a little parasite.
Yeah, essentially it is. Like, I mean, yeah, Andrew Tate definitely could be described as a little parasite.
I would agree with that. But yeah, I think it's just all about, also, if you're a man and you're hanging out with men who are being misogynistic, it is almost stronger to come from, like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah,
a man calling
out
a man is stronger than a woman calling out a man at times. Like, there's a place mm-hmm. where that is more impactful, because they're like, holy crap, like, oh, damn.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
doing
you have
wrong.
The awareness to realize that, oh, what I'm saying is potentially harmful, or what I'm saying is feeding into a culture of masculinity that's harmful. And then you also have the courage to sort of come out and actually voice that among people who, you know, might be, what's the word, less critical than you are in thinking about, you know, how they are, how they live their lives.
Yeah. So in summary, incel culture sucks. Let's get some more regulation. Let's help protect not just young women, young men, everybody from it. And yeah, let's fight it. And see you next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.